extend greetings, everyone. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry welcoming you to this week's Truth Provided broadcast, a remnant awareness program dedicated to revealing prophetic fulfillments of Antichrist as they are realized in historic as well as current events we see coming from the Vatican as well as other related sources today. Each week I hope to illustrate the importance of investigating prophecy as it pertains to not only historic events but current events as well. On my site, remnantofgod.org, I have over 2,700 pages of facts exposing all that Antichrist would hope to hide from you and your loved ones. If you have any questions or comments you feel would be a blessing to others, please feel free to call during the last half of the show at 1-800-858-6582. But if you're using unlimited long distance or a cell phone, please use 1-559-733-5161. If you're listening to this broadcast online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com using dial-up and do not have access to a second phone at this time, I invite you to join me on the website at remnantofgod.org. Once there, click the microphone on the main page and follow the prompts to the public room in the POGM audio chat section of the website. You can share any comments or questions you have with me during the show live in the text chat. It's audio as well, but we won't be using audio during the show. And by the way, I also invite you to join us in that audio chat room. It's free between Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock Central Time or Friday nights at 8 o'clock Central or Saturdays at noon for fellowship, Bible studies, worship, or just, you know, general chit-chat and that. So, and don't worry, if you don't have a microphone, you can still listen in and use the text chat if need be. And if you can't make it those times, they're open 24/7. So, last week, we were discussing some of the characteristics of Antichrist. I do have to apologize to some people that tried to call into the show. I didn't hear. I'm having a little difficulty here on my end, probably, because I had a little bit of a crash in the system a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't hear when Aaron told me that some people were calling in. So I apologize for that. If you call in this week, I promise to clean out my ears a little better. So anyway, picking up last week, I'm in the middle of a series of that prophecies that may take quite a while to get through. In this series, I plan to share prophetic facts that define the character and desires of Antichrist, past, present, and future. I'll also be sharing some of the historic records that have been well-researched that verify who it is that has fulfilled each and every one of the prophecies. Not just one here and one there and possibly half of the one here and half of the one there. When we're talking of Antichrist, every single prophecy that speaks of him will be pointing to him. It's just like with Jesus himself. The Antichrist is going to mock everything of the Lord, including prophecy. And when Jesus came, he fulfilled upwards of 300 prophecies, prophetic events, that when he showed up, they were all fulfilled in him. On the website, I do have a page called Jesus in Prophecy, and I only show 100 of those prophecies. And it's pretty intense. If only 10 of them came true, if there was only 10 in the Bible, that is. If there's 100 in the Bible, there'll be 100 coming true. If there's 300, there'll be 300, and so on and so forth. But what you're about to hear, for some of you, you may have never heard this kind of information before. Some that I will share in the coming weeks, as well as today, will no doubt shock some of you as well, and even sadden some. And yes, some will get angry, as I can tell by some of the email that I received. But I get, you know, good email as well. It's not just negative. So, without any further ado, I want to just do a quick recap of what we've covered over the last few weeks. We found that Antichrist, according to the prophecies, is supposed to destroy three nations when Rome falls. Those three horns that were uprooted that Daniel saw. We found historic record that proves the Vatican did in fact do that when it made that decision to become a church and state conglomerate. Three Aryan nations didn't want to go along with it, so they were annihilated. We also found that Antichrist is to receive a seat and authority from Rome. We proved that using historic record. We found that Antichrist will be both a political and a religious power. We found that, which is looking at the woman on the beast. We found that Antichrist will have his church and state conglomeration sitting on seven hills. We also found that Antichrist will rule for 1,260 years. And after the 1,260 years, the beast will be mortally wounded. We found that in historic record. And this deadly wound would be healed. We found that in the San Francisco Chronicle or the New York Times of 1929. And then, which more or less proved that one prophecy that states that this is the beast that was, is not yet is. The beast that was from 538 AD when Vigil was the son of the papal chair under the military protection of Osiris until 1798 there's the beast that was. The beast that is not is from when Napoleon sent in General Berthier and sent in 1798 to knock the Pope out of commission. There's the beast that is not, because he was no longer a church of state at that time. They were only a church. They didn't have that power. And the beast that yet is from 1929 to forward, our present day, because when Gasparri and Mussolini signed that pact in the Lateran Palace, it became a church of state once again. We also found that Antichrist to be a blasphemous power. Two definitions in the Bible of blasphemy are for a man to claim himself God on earth and for a man to claim to have the powers of forgiving men's sins against God that they've committed. So we found that this was indeed fulfilled by the Roman Catholic Church. I have numerous quotes, especially on the Words of the Beast page in my warning section of the website on remembertogod.org, where the Pope actually called himself Lord God the Pope, or another God on earth, or the sweet Christ, or whatever. There's it boggles the mind of how many of those are actually documented. And we also found that Antichrist, the other definition of that particular prophecy was that the blasphemy is for man to forgive, to say he can forgive the sins of men against God. Well, you can walk in any Catholic church on the planet, you will find a confessional. They claim to have the power to give man absolution for the sins they commit against God. We also found that the Antichrist will be able to charm the world to worship him. One of the methods they do so is look at the media, look at all the priests, the nuns, and largely anybody that calls the Pope Holy Father. If you look in John chapter 17, when Jesus Christ himself is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he calls his Father in heaven Holy Father. And then we also have evidence of another act of worship being to kiss the hand or the foot or bow before the Pope is an act of worship. We all saw what happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego regarding bowing. And then I also shared some evidence that I've got some photos on the website of hundreds of priests laying down prostrate before the Pope before they could be ordained as priests. They have to show that they will, in fact, worship him. Whether they know they're doing it or not makes no difference, because of what we saw with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You think the people that were bowing before that giant statue were doing so because they were worshiping it? No. They were doing so because Nebuchadnezzar said, if you don't, we're going to throw you in the furnace of fire. But still, we have proof that the Almighty did acknowledge that they were, in fact, in sin for doing that, because when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow before that statue, Jesus himself showed up in the furnace of fire to prevent them from dying. That's in Acts chapter 3, for those of you that are wondering. We also found that Antichrist will understand the dark sentences of hell. We've got all sorts of evidence in regards to that, especially the fact that Satanism was found being practiced inside the walls of the Vatican. That evidence was brought forward at the Fatima 2000 Congress, the International Congress, by the way. Antichrist will declare Jesus has not come in the flesh. They do that with their doctrine called original sin. They state that Jesus was born without original sin, but yet mankind is. But according to Ezekiel 18:20, we are not held accountable for the sins of the Father, but the Catholic Church says we do have Adam's sin in us, but Jesus doesn't. Which means, according to 1 John chapter 4, verse 3, that if a man is to say that Jesus Christ did not come in the same flesh as you and I have, they are of Antichrist. And so they do that with their doctrine called original sin. They also claim that, this is more or less where we left off. This next prophecy that I'm going to share with you now has to do with Antichrist will use craftiness or deceit in a major way. Daniel chapter 8, verse 23 and 25 says, and in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. And he shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand, which means none of us on earth can do thing one. It is Jesus Christ himself that will take care of the situation we see happening in the Vatican, so don't worry about it. The word craftiness is, according to Strong's Concordance, number 4820, comes back deceit or treachery. The popes of Rome have all along used craftiness and deceit to gain the upper hand. For example, the New World Order is now something that can well be verified first in Rome. Do an online search and notice all the articles alone that pertain to this topic that were first suggested by Rome. Check the dates. And then after Rome suggests these global movements, these New World Order kind of movements, you'll see that they are then agreed to by major governments across the globe. my February 1st, 2004 Truth Provided radio broadcast is about this as well as 11 newsletter in that respect as well. Rome's major prophetic desire is, in fact, the one world court and one world church system combined. The one world court started in 1999 and was ratified in the year 2000. The Roman International Criminal Court carries the solar wheel logo of the Vatican itself on its website as well as its own letterhead. The Pope is, in fact, its globally accepted elected leader. The One World Church began on June 26, 2000. In fact, the papers were signed to bring to light the United Religions Initiative in the same hotel room and same date as of June 26 as back in 1948 when they created the United Nations. Truth is, the Pope was considered the elected leader of this church a year in advance, and when it came to be in 2000, he stepped in victorious. Headline: Churches agree that Pope has overall authority. The Pope was recognized as the overall authority in the Christian world by an Anglican and a Roman Catholic commission yesterday, which described him as a gift to be received by all churches. And listen, this is what they said a year before the United Religions Initiative came into being. They go, if a new united Christian church was created, it would be the Bishop of Rome who would exercise universal primacy. The 43-page document, The Gift of Authority, has been produced by the 18-member Anglican Roman Catholic International Commission after 5 years of debate. The commission concluded that the Bishop of Rome had a specific ministry concerning the discernment of truth and accepted that only the Pope had the moral authority to unite the various Christian denominations. Mark Birchall, a member of the Church of England Evangelical Council, said, "It speaks as if the Bishop of Rome has always been on the side of the angels, while it is well known that for several centuries past, the Bishop of Rome was certainly not." The Right Reverend Cormac Murphy O'Connor, Bishop of Ardenell and Brighton, and the other co-chairman added, "The primacy of the Pope is a gift to be shared." That's from the Electronic Telegraph News, May 13, 1999, written by Oliver Pohl. "This evil entity in Rome has hoodwinked all the governments and churches of the planet into thinking it's a good thing to do as she desires. Often declared that they would create these evil governing entities for peace and safety, when in fact it's the opposite of their desires all along. Rome is actually setting everyone on earth up for a major fall. Don't be fooled. They are not concerned with your faith, nor are they concerned with your wealth. They are more concerned with how easy you will allow them to control you. This is done simply because Satan needs this done. Why? He needs to get the entire world marked as his subject so as to defeat Christ, so he thinks. One problem is, the elect cannot be deceived. They will know what it is he is trying to do, and we will proclaim it from the rooftops. The Vatican has been shouting for years that all religions must come together as one. The Word of God is plain. It states that we cannot join together with those that do not embrace the truth of Scripture. It's just common sense. Amos chapter 3, verse 3 says, can two walk together except they agreed? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 and 17 says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. But what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Yet Rome openly declares you need to join with her for world peace. And to further prove she cares not for Jesus or the gospel itself, I have a page on my website entitled, Rome Says Jesus Not Needed, in the Catholicism Exposed section of the menu. On this page, I share numerous quotes from the Vatican as well as Protestant leaders where they both proclaim Jesus is not needed to gain heaven. When the Vatican or its representatives are speaking to local churches, they will most assuredly say you do need Jesus to gain heaven. But when they speak to the world at large via the media or the global arena, they speak another message. They say such things as this. This is out of the Dallas Morning News, chapter 3, March 20th, 1999. Cardinal Francis Arendt, who, by the way, is slated to be the possible successor to Pope John Paul II, along with a couple other guys, he's also the one that spearheads the ecumenical movement. He said that he has denied Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. I have a big old article about all where he was talking in favor of the Muslims. And this is one of the main reasons they do it, because you tell a Muslim that he has to be a Christian to join this church, he won't join. But if you tell him you don't have to be a Christian, then he'll join. This other one comes from the Telegraph, United Kingdom Telegraph, issue 2023 on Friday, uh, December 8th of 2000, says the Pope said at an audience that all the just on earth, including those who ignore Christ and his church, were called upon to build the kingdom of God. And then Vatican City itself, you know, the CNS News, in their relations with Jews, Christians must recognize that Jews do not have to convert in order to be saved, a top Vatican official said. Can you imagine? Said that back on November 7th, 2002. The Vatican is the ultimate political entity on earth. What you see them doing here is no different than what the Roman politicians have been doing all along. It's the same method of campaigning official uses to gather votes for office. For example, when William Jefferson Clinton was running for the governor's office in Arkansas, back, who knows, he was anti-abortion. That won him the election. Now, when he was running for president of the United States of America, he became pro-abortion. The Pope and his representatives will use the same deceit to get the masses to their agenda. And when someone questions it in their local church, their parish priest or their Protestant minister even, will lie and say, ah, you know, I don't agree with the media, what they're saying here. And then they spin Dr. the Truth to fit your ears. How many of us have heard this from, you know, loved ones? You may have, everybody I love, all my siblings and parents, they're all Catholics. And I asked them, how can you stay in a church when they do this or they do that? And they said, well, I don't agree with the Pope on this aspect, or I don't think that that priest should have been a priest, or I don't think... You know, how often can you be saying this stuff? When it happens day in and day out and day in and day out, you know, it's just all of them. You know, we cannot deny the documented statements. They are right there in black and white. And we cannot deny what we hear when we confront those that speak such lies on a local level. Craftiness and deceit is a major tool in these last days. From Bill Cooper's book, Behold the Pale Horse, on page 49, it's also in the Armageddon script on 215 or page 252. It says, the great overriding feature of the entire system of Antichrist, the New World Order, is blatant deceit. In fact, New World Order writers boast of their planned deceptions because they arrogantly believe the great majority of the world's population is too stupid and lazy to know what is best for them. Only the New World Order planners know what is best for the world, and they have determined that they can achieve their goals only by deliberate deception of the poor masses. Headline, Pope calls for a New World Order. Thursday, January 1st, 2004. Vatican City, Associated Press reporting. Pope John Paul II rang in the new year on Thursday with a renewed call for peace in the Middle East and Africa and the creation of a new world order based on the respect for the dignity of man and equality among nations. You know, this is a sad fact of society today, my friends. If it isn't Hollywood causing millions to become couch potatoes, it's the Roman Catholic-controlled pharmacies pumping them up with so many drugs that most people today look to the other guy to get off the couch and do something. You know, most agree that things have gotten so bad that something needs to be done about it, but no one's willing to get off their backside to do it. You know, I have literally hundreds of pages on my site dedicated to the Vatican's One World Church / government deceptions alone. In fact, there is a section on the site that has gotten so huge due to all the articles on this topic that I had to literally shut it down. I simply could not keep up with all the facts coming in on a daily basis regarding that. So I stopped posting the articles after the Roman International Criminal Court System was initiated. You know, I knew it was only a few months before the United Religions Initiated would have come to be, and so it did. Plus, I figured the hundreds and hundreds of articles showing every aspect of the trickery played out before governing officials to make the New World Order attractive were enough to convince even the hardened skeptic. It's here. They're just waiting to let us know about it. Two crafty lies were used by Rome to get those two global entities realized. Truth is, they actually used the same lie both times. Number one, Rome used the peace and safety lie that 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 3 prophetically speaks of to get the Roman International Criminal Court set up. They convinced the powers that be that if a global court was set up, all the world would be as one and peace would be realized. We would just have this one big old group hug, I guess, and sing Kumbaya. And then number two, Rome again used the peace and safety lie to get the United Religions Initiative ratified as well. They once more used craftiness and deceit to convince the leaders of all nations as well as the churches that if a global church was brought forth, everybody would be happy and that they would join it and world peace would be the end result. it doesn't end there either. Rome also uses deceit and craftiness to get people to see her as a moral authority. However, when you dig deep and pull back the curtain, well, actually, today you don't have to dig that deep. It's right there on the media, and in the media now, it's just, you know, it's in all the newspapers and radio announcers and TV news. You can see all the decadence of the most evil entity ever known to man. An organization so evil that over 500 million Christians have been recorded to have lost their lives at the hands of these bloodthirsty wolves. This is why the Lord sends the seven last plagues. In fact, plague number 2 and 3 specifically states because they are bloodthirsty that the Lord gives them blood to drink. It's because they're bloodthirsty. Revelation 16, verses 3 to 6 says, "And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as blood of the dead man. And every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel brought out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of water, and they became as blood. And I heard the angel with the water say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art, and wast, and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they're worthy." They get what they want. They receive blood because they thirst for it. The Lord is only giving them what they want. And I go into far more detail about the seven last plagues on the website in the prophecy section of the menu. It's just called the seven last plagues. We know how every single plague is going to hit now. We already know how the Lord's going to do it. What I like is the red tide, they're calling it. The red tide is actually Phasteria Pacifica. It's a little ice, what do you call those? Parasites. And I had an article where some scientists were saying, well, this thing's from another planet, some alien, because they can't figure out what it's doing here and the reasons for it. It's this little teeny microscopic little parasite that has these tendrils that will send out when a fish swims by. It, like, goes fishing. It'll catch a fish. And then it reels itself in. If the fish is 1 pound, the fish will be dead in 1 hour. If the fish is 100 pounds, it'll be dead in 100 hours. But before it dies, and I got pictures of some of these fish, they'll get boils all over their bodies. And by the way, if humans get near these fish, they'll get the boils. Okay, there's those plagues, right? Anyway, and these boils seep a toxic fluid that turns seawater blood red. I also have a photograph of the inland waters, too, and I actually came across them because I had to walk in the woods and pray and stuff, and I came across some blood red water. But when I got this, it was, I think, in Mexico City, they're drilling for water or something like that, and when I got this picture, it was 6 weeks old. It says this thing has been, water's been shooting out of the ground like a geyser for the last 6 weeks, and they can't figure out how to stop it. Because they hit something in a really high-pressure river running under the ground really fast or something. I don't know what it is, but it's just shooting this water. You can see it in the pictures. I got it on the site, on the Seven Plagues page, and it's just shooting that water real high into the sky, and it's blood red. It's blood red, people. Now, I'm not saying the plagues have started yet, but we know how the Lord's going to do it already. I mean, look at the tornado on the surface of the sun going 300,000 miles an hour, and it's the shape of our planet. And back in 1996, they figured, oh, that's going to mess with our climate around the year 2000, so... Well, let's call it El Nino. And tell everybody it happens every 11 years. And then 2 years later, say, well, it's back again. I mean, if you're dumb enough to believe it, believe it. You know, this 11-year lie. I remember the first time I heard it, I was like 44 or something like that, or 40. And I go, no, wait a second, I'm 40. And they're saying this happens every 11 years? Well, then it should happen at least 4 times or 3 times in my lifetime. I've never heard of it before. So whose leg do you think you're pulling? But some people will believe it when they say these things. It's pretty amazing, though, to see how each plague is not only understood why they will come, but how as well. So when you get a chance, check out that site on the that page on the site. It's remnantofgod.org. It's in the prophecy section. It's called Seven Last Plagues. One thing really amazes me about the craftiness of this church that it's how the Pope himself, on March 12, 2000, admitted in his mea culpa to the entire world in a globally televised manner that the Roman Catholic Church did in fact kill those Christians. He's apologizing for it during the Dark Ages, right? Everybody goes, oh, this is a great thing that the Pope has done, but no one saw it for the prophetic event it was. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verses 2 and 3, that they're going to kick you out of the synagogues because they don't want me as Father, and yet they'll even kill you. And the Pope was said word for word what Jesus said. But no one taught that. They only saw him apologizing. He admits this church killed these people. Yet the Roman Catholic Church remains the largest church on the earth, sporting over 1.2 billion members. That is the ultimate testimony of craftiness and deceit. You know, no one's ever going to be able to convince me that all those loyal Catholics out there agree that it's okay to kill 500 million Christians. I know they're not like that. I know Catholics. I mean, I deal with them all my life. They're not bloodthirsty, wanting to kill you kind of people. The leaders of their church are, but I'm not. They aren't. Yet, they remain members of that church still to this day. And what's worse, they stay members even after their priests have been caught molesting their very own children. And even after the statistics revealed that the Roman Catholic priests are dying of AIDS 11 times greater than any other group in the USA, they stay in. And I have that documented on the site as well. If any other entity or organization on earth admitted to such a hellish act as they would be shut down immediately. Case in point, look at Hitler. To this day, he is considered the most evil man ever to grace the face of this earth, yet he has only been exposed as the mass murderer of over 6 million Jews, which is bad enough for one man to do that. But the records show that Rome killed over 83 times more people than Hitler ever did. And they are now called the moral authority and the elected leader of the one world court system as well as the one world church. If this is not a prophetic model for craftiness and deceit, then what else could possibly stand there? And lately, thanks to the Roman Catholic two-hour commercial called The Passion of the Christ, one can see that that even the Protestant churches are today falling for the deceit of Rome. You know, not long ago, all Protestant leaders have openly documented as proclaiming that Rome was the home of Antichrist. I've got a list of all denominations stating that, and actually two popes saying that the house of Antichrist resides on those seven hills in Vatican City. However, today, all protesting faiths agree the Pope is the moral authority and the moral leader of the world and should be the leader of the one world church. I gotta get much better, folks. After the break, I've got a couple other things I'd like to share with you. See you after the break, everyone.
This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. Are you a believer that is looking for a way to understand Bible prophecy as it pertains to historic as well as current events? Do you believe a one-world government is predicted in the Bible to occur in our day? Do you want to know what the Bible says about the Vatican's role in all of this? Are you one that believes no prophecy of the Bible is of any personal interpretation, as 2 Peter 1:20 declares? And are you also one that understands all the symbols in prophecy are defined accurately in all the books of the Bible? If so, then you are one that would be blessed by the truth provided broadcast. Please join us on Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern Time for an adventure in Bible prophecy. See the prophecies of old come to light in today's current events as well as historic events in our not-so-distant past. You will find information in this broadcast that will benefit you and your family like never before. So please stop by Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on FirstAmendmentRadio.com for the truth provided broadcast. For more information, stop by our website at www.remnantofgod.org.
Everybody, if you want to call in towards those this part of the show, please do so at 559-733-5161. This next prophecy, I hope to get into this prophecy after this one about the 666. I promised it for this week, and I hope I can. It all depends on how things go. But this one here, this prophecy states that Antichrist to preach another Jesus unto all. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I guess, yeah. You just double your case. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 to 4 says, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Is the Jesus of Rome the Jesus of the Bible?" Notice a few teachings of the Roman Catholic Church. Does this sound like they preach the Jesus of the Bible, what I'm about to share? Yeah, it's truly this easy to see this prophecy fulfilled. All one needs to do is open a Bible, then open a Roman Catholic Catechism book. You know, a book that explains their faith. Do they preach Jesus when they glorify Mary as co-redeemer? Do they preach Jesus when their priestly ambassadors of Jesus are drunks, smokers, child molesters, thieves, and murderers? Do they preach Jesus while killing 500 million Christians during the Dark Ages and admitting to it? Do they preach Jesus while placing tradition over and above the Scripture? Do they preach Jesus when they teach purgatory instead of salvation in Jesus? Do they preach Jesus when teaching you must suffer to be saved, making the cross insufficient? Do they preach Jesus while going to a man for forgiveness instead of God Almighty? In other words, doing what Jesus says to do or not doing what Jesus says to do. Do they preach Jesus when the Pope says in 1998 that evolution is fact, making Jesus Christ, the Creator, a liar? In other words, Adam and Eve didn't come, it was the monkeys first. Do they preach Jesus when they teach gambling is acceptable Christ-like activity? Do they preach Jesus when the Pope praises and embraces Buddhism on global news networks? Do they preach Jesus when they preach that fellow believers stone Stephen on EWTN? Eternal World Television, that's a Catholic television network. I saw the priest say themselves, "Fellow believers, don't Stephen," he said. Do they preach Jesus when the Pope preaches mankind can protect you better than God? You know, like when the Pope drives around in the Pope mobile made out of bulletproof glass? "I'll put my faith in man rather than God," he's saying. Do they preach Jesus when the Pope preaches you must be loyal to him to be saved? Do they preach Jesus when they teach you must bow down to the Pope and kiss his feet? Or how about, do they preach Jesus while killing millions for merely reading his Bible? Do they preach Jesus when they ignore Jesus as an example and baptize babies as did the pagan? How about, do they preach Jesus when they put his Bible on the list of forbidden books in the Council of Nicaea back in 1229 A.D.? And then if you were caught with a Bible, you either had to turn the Bible in to be burned or you'd burn it into place. Do they preach Jesus when they venerate crosses, statues, images, relics, bones, whatever? Rosaries. Do they preach Jesus when they sell indulgences, making the cross insufficient? In fact, this is one of the reasons Martin Luther came out of the church, because they were saying, "You give us enough money, we'll guarantee you have it in writing." He left for one, and then of course sola scriptura as well, you know, by faith alone and the Bible only. And then 1999, October 31st, same day. No, wait, October 30th, I think it was. Same day that Martin Luther put up the 95 Theses on the door, many Lutheran churches rejoined with Rome, and the indulgences started up again. They're selling them again. Do they preach Jesus when they preach you must worship a wafer with the symbol IHS for Isis, Horus, and Set, three pagan sun gods on a little wafer? Instead, you worship that when they pray it in front of you. Do they preach Jesus when a little brown cloth hanging around your neck called a scapular will save you instead of Jesus? It says right on the cloth, because I used to wear them. It says, "The wearer of this cloth will not suffer the eternal fires of hell or damnation," however cloth you get, you know. Simon Stock got it in some vision. Do they preach Jesus when they preach you must worship a wafer? Do they preach Jesus when they put books in the Bible that Jesus nor the apostles ever quoted or used? The Apocrypha. Never used those Bibles, those books. Do they preach Jesus when they say that Mary was utterly without sin? So why did she go to the cross? Do they preach Jesus when they call the Pope infallible and Jesus' word fallible? Do they preach Jesus when the Pope himself states to all the world that he is God on earth? Or that you must be part of that church to gain heaven? Do they preach Jesus when they make war with the saints, just as Jesus said in prophecy that Antichrist would do? Do they preach Jesus by slowly torturing you to death? Do they preach Jesus when they destroyed three complete nations? The Vandals, the Hurlies, and the Ostrogoths in 538 AD when Vigil was the son of their papal chair? And do they preach Jesus when they abolished the Sabbath that Jesus himself kept and all Christians kept for 300 or 400 years and then renamed it or retagged it as the first day of the week, Sunday? I've got a page on my website. I'll give you $10,000 cash if you can find one verse in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation that says God Almighty changed the Sabbath from the seventh day of the week to the first day of the week. You'll get $10,000 cash. And I'll give you the phone number to Pastor Jan Markson, who wrote the book National Sunday Law. He'll give you $1 million. It's in the WorldNet Daily, and it's in Newsweek. They made a write-up about that and on him for that reason, that he was offering $1 million for anybody who could show a Bible verse for that. There is one Bible verse, by the way, in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, that says the beast will fake the change times and laws. But that's the only area in the Bible that you'll see that the Sabbath was going to get messed with. It just happens to be the one commandment that God says, remember to keep holy that day. Why? Because you're going to be taught to forget it. But that's a whole other radio broadcast that I'm planning for the future. Anyway, the Convert's Catechism of Catholic Doctrine has 112 pages in it. It was written by Peter Geierman, a CSSR, some priest. It was published by the B. Herder Book Company, 15 and 17 South Broadway, St. Louis, Missouri, 1946. Were you aware that out of the 448 questions in this book of Catholic Doctrine, there were 776 answers due to the fact that many of them had questions with multiple answers? Like, you know, some of them had as many as 17 answers to a single question. I can remember one off the top of my head. How many answers would there be to the question, and what are the names of the apostles? You're going to get 13 answers, because one of them was Judas, and of course he killed himself. Out of all these questions regarding Catholic doctrine, you know, why they believe as they believe, out of all these questions, there were only 56 Bible verses listed. I've got the book right here. I went page to page and counted every one of the verses. There's only 56 Bible verses listed. And more than 75% of those verses were taken completely out of context to twist the meaning of them. But let's give the Vatican the benefit of the doubt here and assume that all 56 verses used in there were in context, shall we? Just for the sake of illustration. That would 56 Bible verses used for 776 answers equates to 13.8% of the questions had Bible verses given to explain or confirm them. That means 86.2% of the answers were not found in the Bible. Matthew 16:18 says, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." This single verse alone proves the Catholic Church is not of Jesus. Historic fact is, the gates of hell have prevailed against this church from the beginning, and will do so all the way until its soon demise. If this church, if they claim was built upon the faith of Peter, is Roman Catholicism, then they also proclaim Jesus Christ a liar, for even the Pope himself admitted in his mea culpa of March 12, 2000, that the gates of hell did prevail against that church. So much so that over 500 million Christians were burned at the stake, drawn and quartered, buried alive, boiled in oil, skinned alive, and had numerous other horrendous acts of evil done against them. Is this what Jesus would have Christians do to those that don't embrace his word? You know, regardless if they're doing this now or not, makes no difference, people. They are still doing some of this stuff, not as bad as that, behind closed doors. They're being sued right now for what happened in World War II. But even a babe in Christ can easily proclaim, no, Jesus would never do as Rome is doing. Pray for your dear loved ones that are in this church. They have a devout faith, some of them, and they're in grave danger. Hey, this next prophecy, a lot of people like to take this one out of context, or tag it on somebody else. Like, say, if you take Microsoft Windows, and it'll equal 666. Or if you take Ellen Gould White's name and rewrite it, like take the W and make it into two V's instead of a W, it'll equal 666. Or Joe Schmo down the street, if you take his name, you might be able to get it to equal 666. Why? Well, Revelation 13, verses 17 and 18 says this. And that no man might buy or sell, save he have the mark of the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. Revelation gives us a clue as to how to calculate the number of the beast. It reveals that his name will also equal this number. The name I'm about to share with you is the official title of the Pope. Thing is, for many years, most Catholics I shared this with said that the name was a bogus title. I used to be Catholic, and I did see the name itself inscribed upon the mitre of the Pope in what, you know, that funny-looking hand he wears, like an open mouth of a fish. That's what it's supposed to represent. Dagon out of the Old Testament. Poseidon, that fish god, Dagon. Anyway, I saw this with my own eyes. It says Vicarius Filii Dei. It's a Latin term. On the side of a mitre in jewels or diamonds or something. Problem is, I never made note as to where I saw it back then. I was Catholic. I didn't care. So, for years, it was my word against theirs. When people would come up to me and say, "Ah, yeah, right, you're down a crate of, you know, a quart of brain fluid, Nick. There's no way this could possibly be." However, recently, the Lord has blessed me with an actual copy of the Catholic Weekly of April 18, 1915, wherein are found the following words. The letters inscribed to the Pope's mitre are these. Vicarius Filii Dei, which is Latin for Vicar of the Son of God. Catholics hold that the Church, which is a visible society, must have a visible head. Christ, before his ascension into heaven, appointed St. Peter to act as his representative. By the way, these are their words, not mine. Anyway, hence to the Bishop of Rome, as the head of the Church, was given the title, the Vicar of Christ. That's out of the Sunday Visitor, Catholic Weekly, Bureau of Information, Huntington, Indiana, April 18, 1915, and I have an actual facsimile of that thing, of that quote, or the whole page, actually, on my website. And so do other websites now. Since this evidence came forth, the title, regarding the title Vicarius Filii Dei and its obvious connection to 666 calculation of Revelation, which I will get to shortly, the Roman Church has opted to teach its followers to declare this title bogus. They have gone to great lengths of seeking to do just that, is to remove the overwhelming evidence against them. Vicarius Filii Dei is cited by the rector of Berlin, Andreas Helwig, or Helwig, however you want to pronounce it, from 1572 to 1643, and is on Antichristus Romanus. As well, he's got it in there. You might also want to take a look at the actual facsimile of November 15, 1914 edition of this Our Sunday Visitor. It's a Catholic publication, of course, and that both uses the term Vicarius Filii Dei as well, and state the name is inscribed on the Pope's mitre. I have that facsimile on the website, too. Not only does that publication show the title Vicarius Filii Dei, it also explains that it is considered a valid title, as they do not refute that. Instead, they attempt to explain why it is a trivial matter that it equals 666. The priest writing the article actually admits that the title is authentic to try and explain away its obvious 666 connection. Read the article. It's on the site. He admits it's there. He just says, well, it doesn't really mean the 666 thing. So it's catch-22 for him on that thing. And by the way, Roman Catholic author, Jesuit priest Malachi Martin, also uses the exact same title for the Pope on page 114 and 122 of his book, The Keys of His Blood. And one more note of interest. Why is it, I ask, that when you go to the archives of Our Sunday Visitor, that this particular edition is altogether missing? Why is it also difficult to get a copy of page 3 of November 15, 1914 of Our Sunday Visitor? Well, it'll become very obvious in a moment. What I have here is a collection of titles for the office of Pope. The list can also be found on my Pope and 666 page in the Catholicism Exposed section of the menu on the website at remnantsofgod.org. The unique thing about the Latin language is that its alphabet serves a dual purpose. It's not only used to spell out words, it is also used as its numeric system. For example, the letter I equals 1, the letter V is 5, the letter C is 100, and so on. And if you run across a letter that doesn't have a value, you put a 0 there. You don't try to fake it and add something to it. Just stay honest. And that's what the other people do to try to take away from this. Just stay honest and you'll have it down pat. So, now all one needs to do is spell the titles of the Pope, and then all you need to do is add up the letters that are actually numbers at the same time. So, what do we get when we get to Vicarius Filii Dei? I'll just add this one up for you and share the rest real quick. But Vicarius comes out like this. V equals 5, I equals 1, C equals 100, A, no value, R, no value, I equals 1, V equals 5, S equals 0. F equals 0, I, no, for filii, F equals 0, I equals 1, L equals 50, I and I equals 1 and 1. The D in day, you know, Vicarius Filii Dei, the D equals 500, the E has no value, and the I equals 1. Now add them up. 666. There's another Latin title for captain of the clergy. It's called Dux Clary. Spell it. Add it. 666. How about vicar of the court in Latin is called Ludovicus. Spell it, add it, 666. Iproterra, which means tenth, first of two, 666. Latinus, which means the Latin-speaking man, 666. How about Helatine Basilia, the Latin kingdom, 666. Italica Ecclesia, Italian church is what it means. Add it, 666. Apostates, 666. Romith, Roman kingdom, 666. Romiti, Roman man, 666. And by the way, there is one more name that equals 666. In Greek, using the method called Demetria, you know, giving numbers to letters, the name Titan means Satan in English. Add Titan. The T is 300, the E is 5, the I is 10, the T is 300, the A is 1, and the N is 50. 666. The Vatican also claims the title Holy Light of God, or in Latin, Sancta Lux Dei. Add it. 666. How about King of the Roman Priests? Rex Latinus Sacerdus. That's 666 as well. Now, what I'm about to share, as far as my research can find, this has never happened before in the history of the Catholic Church, as far as I know. Now, my research might be lacking in this one area, but as far as I can see, I have never seen this happen before with the name of a pope, you know, the actual given name for the pope. I'm not talking about Carl, you know, maybe, Pope John Paul's birth name. I'm talking about Pope John Paul II. The name he was given is Pope, which is John Paul II. In Latin, John Paul II is Ioannis Paulus II. Spell it. Add it up. 666. That's amazing. If the numbers of a man's name, count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Revelation 13, verses 17 and 18. One more prophecy should do it for today. Antichrist must hate the Bible and anyone that embraces its truth. Mark 4, verse 15 says, and these are they that by the wayside, where the word is sown, you know, when Jesus had that parable of the sowing of the seed, he says, but when they heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. You know, as we all know, Satan hates the word of God because it exposes him perfectly. So naturally, the one Satan is doing his bidding on earth will hate it just as much. Now, keep in mind, I do not write the history books, nor did I write the Bible. All this information is well documented and easy to research for yourselves. In fact, I implore you to do just that. That way you will know for a fact that the Roman Catholic Church really does speak in such a way when it comes to the Bible. Notice, now, a few comments from the Roman Catholic Church itself that even a babe in Christ can say, there's something wrong here. From the Council of Tlemcen's, Pope Gregory the Ninth, in 1229 said, the decree set forth in the year 1229 AD by the Council of Valencia places the Bible on the index of forbidden books. The doctrine withholds it is forbidden for laymen, the common man, to read the Old and New Testaments. We forbid them most severely to have the above books in the popular vernacular. The lords of the districts shall carefully seek out the heretics in dwellings, hovels, and forests, and even their underground retreats shall be entirely wiped out. From the De La Bible in France in 1910, page 14, it says, the Council of Tarragona said, no one may possess the books of the Old and New Testaments in the Romance language, and if anyone possesses them, he must turn them over to the local bishop within 8 days after the promulgation of this decree so that they may be burned. The encyclical Contra Curo, issued by Pope Pius IX on December 6, 1866, he said, socialism, communism, clandestine societies, Bible societies, and pests of this sort must be destroyed by all means. Question box, page 66 of Catholic Publication stated that the Bible does not pretend to be the formulary of belief as a creed or a catechism. There is nowhere in the New Testament a clear methodical statement of the teaching of Christ. What Bible are they reading? Same book said that the very nature of the Bible ought to prove to any thinking man the impossibility of its being the one safe method to find out what the Savior taught. They call it a dead and speechless book on page 67 of that book. They also say in our priesthood, page 155, the scriptures indeed is a divine book, but it is a dead letter. I have. I mean, notice they speak of those who trust the Bible as heretics. I mean, were you aware that on March 12, 2000, the Pope called all non-Catholics heretics in his Mea Culpa? Is it hard to see why such hatred is displayed towards the Bible? Only those threatened by its truth will hate it. For it is plainly written in Galatians 4:16 that, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? It doesn't take much sense to see why Rome would hate the Bible. It exposes them to be the home of Antichrist. This is the only reason they feel this way about it. This is the only reason 86.2% of the Catholic doctrine cannot be found in that Bible. This explains why they claim tradition to be on equal footing with the Bible. The Bible is an open and graphic threat to all that is Rome. And that is the only reason they attack those that hold the Bible dear to their hearts. Rome made many claims in those quotes. Everything from calling it a dead letter to claiming it not to be the textbook of the Christian religion. Well, I believe the following verses prove, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that they weren't quite truthful. In Acts chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says that the Bible declares and teaches all things, all necessary things which Jesus did. It also says that the Bible declares and teaches the certainty of his actions and teachings in Luke chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. I have this list on my website if you need it. The Bible also declares that it teaches the life in the name of life in the name of eternal life, or just regular life in the name of Jesus, John chapter 20, verses 30 to 31. It also teaches in the Bible the instructions to salvation, it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. It teaches in the Bible the commands of the Lord in 1 Corinthians 14:37. It teaches us the proper conduct, it says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. It shows us every good work in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It shows us that the Bible, the words therein, can protect us against sin. It exposes it, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. It gives us an assurance of eternal life in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. It's the standard. The Bible is the standard by which teachers are tested, Acts chapter 17, 11. And it's the standard by which we cannot go beyond, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. And we get blessings from reading, it says in Revelations chapter 1, verse 3. And it gives us joy that is complete, it says in 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. And it is the standard of judgment, Revelation 20, verse 12. You know, to put it bluntly, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. This is the reason the Bible is shunned. This is the reason they'll attack it. I have many more quotes regarding this topic, Rome hates, proving that Rome hates the Bible, with a passion, on my Words of a Beast page on the site, in the Warnings section of the menu. So when you get a chance, stop by the website. It's at www.remnantsofgod.org. Everything on the site is 100% free. What has been freely given to me, I freely give it to you. So, and I don't know if anybody tried to call because I didn't hear anything, so I don't know if I messed up again this week or not. So if there is someone on the line, okay, good. Aaron just let me know, and I was able to hear Aaron, so everything's working fine now. So that's good. That's good to hear. So, anyway, next week I'd like to get into some other prophecies. I don't think I'll be able to finish up because when I hit the area where the Bible speaks of, it'll be the whore of Babylon, and it says, in other words, a whore, of course, is a woman in prophecy, or in real life. And a woman in prophecy, according to Jeremiah 6:2, is a church. But this particular church that Antichrist will reside in will be the whore of Babylon. And when I get to that section, it's going to take a while to get through it. Because, and I won't even touch on all of it because it's just too huge. There's just too much evidence. Every aspect of paganism, every aspect of Babylon has been embraced by this church. In fact, I'll read you a couple of quotes here if I can find them real quick. Well, here's one. Cardinal Newman, Roman Catholic Cardinal Newman admits in his book that the temples, the incense, the oil lamps, the votive offerings, the holy water, the holidays like Christmas and Easter and all that stuff, and the seasons of devotion, the processions, the blessings of the fields, the sacerdotal vestments, the tonsures of the priests amongst the nuns, the Kyrie eleison, and the images and the statues are all of pagan origin. That's on the development of the Christian religion, Cardinal Newman's book, page 359. Well, looks like we're out of time, folks. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministries signing off for this week. Stop by the site for all that I've shared here and more. It's at remnantofgod.org. Thanks to all to FirstAmendmentRadio.com for allowing the present truth to be broadcast freely. Don't forget to catch the rebroadcast of this show on Tuesday, 2 p.m. Central Time. See you next time, everybody. God bless.